We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We have a linebacker that can step in at the number two spot, which would be the third linebacker. So, but at running back, if one go down, now you got still have two more that are capable of running the ball. We've seen it happen last year. So in my opinion, you look at if you're the fourth running back, if you're just a special teams guy, don't forget, I played there when it was LT, Darren Sproles, Michael Turner, Jesse Chapman, four guys.
Deepest running back backfield like ever.
Yeah, so
it was insane.
It was.
Was that the Super Bowl year or? Oh, I'm sorry. What you were saying, Jesse
I was
Chapman.
Being honest.
He just being who he is because he knows I'm laying out something for him, and he's gonna get a casket.
What you're laying out is going in the green bin as soon as it's done, so it's compostable, fortunately. But please continue. So, I like the incense up in here.
I just gave you Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler, and I'm telling you, Jesse Chapman was the guy that was odd man out, that was down, who played hell of special teams, but you had to do Sproles over him. You had to do Jesse Chapman over. You had to have
Turner.
Michael Turner over him, and you had to have the great LT over him, and also yours truly, Lolo. So when you think about that.
In hindsight.
So you're comparing, before we go any further, you're comparing LT, Michael Berner Turner, and Darren Sproles to Matt Breida, Jerick McKinnon, and Tevin Coleman. This is a comparison that you're making. Am I clear with that? That you're comparing a Hall of Famer and two other legit 10-year pros to this group?
It's simple. What
is that a yes? You're comparing these two groups? Please continue.
Yes, it's very easy. All I'm telling you is
you're comparing a fine wine to Ripple is what you're doing. No disrespect to this current group of Cisco barley wine. I'm comparing apples to oranges.
Wait a minute.
You're comparing apples
What's
to
Ripple?
Volkswagens. Ripple
Ripple's
is a
that drink, baby.
Very cheap wine.
Really?
We go back to the '70s. Yes.
That's why I had to let Ripple boy. That's Ripple.
Ripple. Those like of us on the wrong side of the tracks. You Ripple. Back when they had Cisco, which was that old fruity wine.
And like that's yo, that's Cisco. Woo. And
I know Cisco in terms of two things: systems and thong song. I don't know Cisco as a cocktail.
It's a beverage.
I'm gonna grab you some of that Thunderbird and get you a little Kool-Aid with it.
Get him some of that T-Bird in a paper bag.
If we're going down in the gutter, I'll take my MD 2020.
Okay, Mad Dog 2020.
Give me the green one.
This is like Four Loko before Four Loko.
That's an absolute pass.
Ripple.
Ooh, that Ripple.
Ripple,
you
Cisco, Thunderbird.
But I was so young, I don't remember Ripple.
Anyway, you're comparing a
shows
fine
like
wine
that
to Ripple.
Back then, you try to bring them back on TV.
No chance.
They're on shows back in the day. You can't play those shows anymore.
And those were network shows, right. Coach. Not there was no such thing as cable. So that thing
gather
was on.
Gather the family around to watch Archie Bunker. Right, it's like, right. No.
Archie.
Can't be gathering people
Archie
around to watch that
Bunker.
Guy.
My God, that was a, oh my God.
They can't say that.
Very problematic show.
It was. Oh my God. Archie. Oh, Taxi. I love Taxi too, by the way, while we own it. But here's the thing you got to realize.
Good.
I'm comparing.
You love Taxi.
Good.
So who's the LT of the Niners as we continue
this
cockamamie comparison?
It's not cockamamie. If you just can focus and just listen without use your head besides a hat rack, just please.
I wear beanies.
Okay, listen, brother. I'm comparing those three running backs, and I'm just talking about – I'm comparing apples to oranges. I didn't say they were better. I didn't say they had more talent. I'm just simply laying out for what that team has. This is who they are. This is the Niners running backs, okay? These are the Niners running back. Newsflash, you can't bring LT back. Can't bring me back. So these are the Niners backs.
They're fullbacks.
So all I'm telling you is this is who we had. LT, Turner, Burner, Darren Sproles. I'm saying you just brought in a running back. You got McKinnon, you got Breida. Those three are comparable. Then you're talking about Mostert. Mostert be, let's just say, Jesse Chapman. The fourth guy's out because you got three comparable running backs. That's the only thing
I understand what you're saying, but it's the three-man group. We have a conversation. They really like Mostert on special teams. Yes,
they love Jesse Chapman on special teams, but when it's not enough chairs, though, Joe, you got to make tough decisions.
Well, then why'd they tender him? I don't understand why they gave him the $2 million tender, because they probably had some back channel conversations with Tevin Coleman, and they clearly were pushing their chips in with Le'Veon Bell. They knew that somehow, some way, they were going to add a running back. They knew they had Breida back, and they knew they had control over McKinnon. So then they still tendered Mostert. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why would you do all that just to be like, all right, we're going to deactivate you on game day?
They
if I'm Jed, I'm like, hey, that's still $2 million. I'd like to get something out of that.
It's just a tender. That means you use tender and the guy saying you're going to keep him. That's all.
Why not just let him go if you have no use for him? It sounds like you have no use for him in the scenario you're laying out, which I do believe is somewhat reasonable.
You know, there's a lot of players in the league, Joe, in each team that don't even get 10 snaps during the year and they still keep them on the team.
It's well,
just,
yeah.
It just happens. It's just, you know what I'm saying? You've been an agent. I understand what you're saying. You're trying to say, well, they're tending $2.5 million. It's got to be, he's got to have a play, got to have a spot. No. He's going to be on the team. That sucker better be getting the water. He better get on every scout team. You better run on scout team. You're going to be out there. You're going to be running around. You're going to do all the things you want to do. And on game day, it's going to be a game day dime decision. That's just how it works.
We really got into the nitty gritty of the fourth running back spot there. All right. We got to talk about Eric Berry.
Yes, we do.
Does anyone want to pursue Eric Berry? The Niners are also going to be meeting with Jason Verrett if they haven't already. Now, Verrett is scheduled to meet with the Houston Texans afterwards. So if you want him, you don't want to let him get out of the building. We've got all that to break down. Hugh Douglas is going to join us next. We've also got Bruce Bochy at 8:30. And following Bochy, we'll be giving away an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball. Huge hour coming up.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. Brought to you by our friends at Cash Creek Casino. It is Cash Creek's Year of Fortune. Somebody is going to win $8,888 at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Visit our friends at cashcreek.com for more. Hugh Douglas, 10-year NFL veteran, works down in Atlanta. Now he's going to tell you everything you need to know about Tevin Coleman in just a few moments. Greg Papa will join us at 8 o'clock. A little bit of a double take there. Papa joins us every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30. Today he's getting bumped to 8 because three-time World Series champion Bruce Bochy is going to join us at 8:30. Right after that, we're giving away an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball. So mark it down, take a picture, do what you got to do. We got a lot going on today. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Should the 49ers sign free agent safety Eric Berry? Now, we have a lot to break down from the Warrior Houston game last night. After the Douglas interview, we'll get to that. But as we're waiting for Hugh, I wanted to ask you about Eric Berry. The Chiefs decided that's it. Which, by the way, you're just in the AFC Championship game. You lost Justin Houston, Dee Ford, Eric Berry. I know he's banged up and he's getting older and he's pricey, but Houston's defense wasn't even that good to begin with. And they just gave away a lot of individuals. So now Eric Berry is going to make his way out onto the open market. The Niners have been linked to virtually every safety out there. Do you see them kicking the tires here?
They kick the tires, but for me, it's a pass because your medical room is already quite full with Quan Alexander. You got Jimmy G. You got Jerick McKinnon. They're all recovering from injuries. You saw Richard Sherman come back from injury, and he wasn't able to play all 16. Eric Berry played in two games this past year and one game the year before, and I know he's had major health issues with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma as well as other injuries. For me, a player who's 30, going to be 31, with that injury history, it's a pass.
Eric Berry, what do you think? Worth bringing in?
I'd definitely bring him in and sit and chat with him, but I'm passing on this guy. I think you talk to him, and you definitely, and maybe there's a chance. I can't give this guy a lot of money, Joe. You just...
Well, then don't even bring him in. You don't have to bring him in.
I think that you want to look at him and just see, but I'm kind of with Dibs here. But think about the guys that they've had that they're expecting a lot from, McKinnon, Jimmy G, those particular guys, and your running back, your linebacker Alexander, you're expecting these guys to make plays for you. And all these guys are coming off a major injury. You can't afford to miss on anymore. You got to go get guys that are healthy. I wouldn't do it.
10-year NFL veteran and three-time Pro Bowler. You can check him out now as the co-host of John and Hugh on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Hugh Douglas joining Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Hugh, first and foremost, we greatly appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Tevin Coleman, 2 years, $10 million to the San Francisco 49ers. For our Niner fans who are listening but are just now getting acquainted with Tevin Coleman, what can you tell them about him?
I'll tell you what, man, he's a good running back. It's unfortunate that last year he was here, and you know the woes that the Atlanta running game had. They just didn't run the ball well. So he was a victim of that. The offensive line wasn't that good, but you're getting a good running back. You're getting a good running back. You're getting a guy that hits the hole really, really hard, getting a guy that's really, really fast, deceptively fast. You're getting a good running back. For the cheap, when you think about it, you're getting him at a pretty good price.
Is it the system that they ran with Kyle Shanahan that benefited him so much, or is it just as simple as the offensive line and maybe the coordinator not being as good in Atlanta last year?
Well, I think it was the offensive line, and you know, coming in the coordinator, you could blame the coordinator a little bit. It's because you're dealing with guys that you're not that familiar with. Now, you can say what you want about Coach Shanahan, but he came in here, and he got this offensive line, and he had this Atlanta Falcons team rolling so much so that they went to the Super Bowl. And I think that was one of the main reasons why he wanted to get Tevin Coleman in the fold, because when you think about it, Coach Shanahan drafted, they were big and high on Tevin Coleman when he got here. It was just unfortunate that Devontae Freeman emerged as a better back at the time. So he's very familiar with him. He's very, very familiar with his skill set. And I think Coach Shanahan is going to put him in the best possible position to be successful there in San Francisco.
Big Hugh, what's up, baby? You still pretty in the face and slim in the waist? Your boy, Lo Neal.
Hello, what's up, man?
My man, my dude. It's been some time, brother. Hey, glad you jumped on this show. What does Tevin do well? What does he do well in the running game? Is he run with power? Is he run with vision? What are some of the things that you can point out distinguish him as a running back? What makes him unique?
I tell you what, man, what I liked about him is that he's like, you know how some running backs, they get back there and they dance a little bit because they're waiting for the hole to open up. Now, Tevin hits the hole, man, and when he hits it, he hits it with a purpose. He hits it like a guy who, you know, he's not worried about the tackle coming off that block. He's going to try to run through that guy. He hits the hole hard, extremely hard. That's what you're going to get with him. It's not going to be no indecisive running with him. It's going to be with the holes there. He's going to hit it. He's going to hit it quick. He has that kind of speed. And that's what you're going to like about this guy.
Hugh Douglas with us here on 95.7 The Game. It's been a bit of a rocky start for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. They've had some success. There have been some bright moments, but they have been dealt a series of blows, massive injuries to very important players. There are some people who are impatient, and they look at Shanahan, and they might think he doesn't have it as a head coach, but you know him pretty well, having been the offensive coordinator in Atlanta while you were down there. What can you tell the people about Kyle Shanahan? As a show, we really like the future for him if he has the right talent around him. Do you see him as a very successful head coach if all things break his way?
You know what? I think so. And you know what's funny, man? That's just fans in general. Because we want it now. We look at the success that other teams have had, i.e. the New England Patriots, I don't even want to say it. It won't even come out my mouth. But the New England Patriots have had a lot of success. And you're talking about a story franchise in San Fran that is used to having a lot of success. You want that back. But I'm telling you like this, man. He's a good coach. He has to get the players in there that he needs to make it go. You look at what he was able to do in Atlanta in a two-year time. He was able to bring him to the Super Bowl. So he knows what he's talking about. Now, I know that – I don't know how he is as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, he was a little arrogant here. But he was arrogant because he knew what he was doing. He believed in his system, and his system worked. If he gets the right people in place, the San Francisco 49ers are going to be okay.
Is one of those right people a number one wide receiver? Because obviously Julio Jones is a great player before Shanahan. He's a great player afterward. But maybe that's partly why he had that arrogance, because – he had a weapon like that. Does he need a number one receiver to really have his system thrive?
You know what? I don't know if you need a number one receiver to make your system thrive, but having a receiver like Julio Jones makes your day a whole lot easier. I'm here to tell you, man, because I can remember times down here in interviews, Coach Shanahan would go to the mic and say, hey, we're going to give him a heavy dose of Julio Jones before the game. You don't never do that to let the team. I mean, everybody knows Julio's going to get the ball. But you never tell everybody that that's the way that your offense is going around Julio Jones. I think that helps out, but you don't necessarily need to have that number one receiver to make that offense go. But it does make it a whole lot easier.
We live in a world with a lot of speculation. Is there any chance Atlanta would be willing to part ways with Julio Jones if the price was right?
man, y'all can't have him. I don't know what y'all trying to do out there, San Fran. Y'all can't have him. Hey, look, got a bunch of love for the organization. Shout out to my man Bob Lane, the PR guy out there. But no. Y'all can't have Julio Jones, man. It's not going
to
happen.
That didn't come from Bob Lang. That's just one of our dreams, Hugh, is to have a number one receiver.
I know I didn't.
You're getting him, Hugh.
Since I was out here, I just wanted to say give a shout-out to Bob Lang because that's my dog.
It's a great shout-out, Hugh.
10-year NFL vet, 3-time Pro Bowler. Check him out now as the co-host of John and Hugh on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Hugh Douglas with us here on 95.7 The Game. Hugh, we know you're busy, but thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys. And Lolo, hold it down out there in San Fran, man. Hold it down.
Come see me soon, brother. Come see me soon.
Definitely, definitely.
If he comes out, would you actually see him, or would you not get together?
We'd hang out. I'd take him to the House of Prime.
I'm not blaming you. A lot of people say that. It's like, yeah, hit me up, and then they get the talent. It's like, man, I'm not doing all that.
I'll go see Hugh. We played together in New York with the Jets together. He was a hell of a player, man. Good dude. Always kept me laughing. He was funny, dude. Comedy.
Take him out to eat some meat over at House of Prime. Dibs.
Yeah.
You can go with.
I'm sure. I would not wait there for Lowe to show up because there's no way Lowe's coming all the way across the bridge to meet up with Hugh at House of Prime. One of his very own teammates, his current teammates, was doing something pretty important to him some 2 blocks from his home in an afternoon recently, and he couldn't bring himself to walk out of his own home to go 2 blocks to see a current teammate. So why would he go across a bridge to see a former teammate?
Wow, there are 2 follow-ups I want to bring to the equation. 1, I'd really like to know who, and 2, in fairness, for as upset as you get at him for bringing off-air stuff onto the show, you kind of just did that to him right there in drive time.
Without a doubt, it's a bloodbath in here.
But you can't get mad at him and throw your headset when he does that to you then. Because he's not walking away. If you want fair and balanced.
Yeah, that's a long time ago when I threw the headset down and stormed off. I'm trying to be
a
better person.
You did it yesterday. You literally took your headset off yesterday and got out of the chair, did a loop, and came back and sat down. It literally happened yesterday, did it not?
That was an ode to Lowe and his headset off move. That.
Man, you know what?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, that's all. You're welcome. Now, as we transition to you, who'd you blow off?
Joe, went to bed a little late, get up early, and I had some calls to make. You know, we had the house that burned down. I'm on the phone insurance, so I get home around 11 or 12 o'clock. I'm on the phone getting stuff dialed up, and so my nap time comes, and it's already 2 hours later, so I don't go to sleep till like 2. Dibs had a volleyball game, and
it was Dibs?
Dibs.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like Drew Brees was in town or LT was in town.
Dibs.
It was a current teammate.
You see
teammate.
Him every day.
Right.
I wanted to see his boys. Not him. I wanted to see his team because they're playing against a team that's undefeated in league. And I did want to go. And Joe, once you wake up and you
huge letdown here. Huge letdown.
Because you can
make it up to him. Yeah. You're definitely going to go out. You're going to talk to the team. He's been asking you to do that.
Absolutely.
Someone with the gravitas that you have coming in.
Joe, thank you again.
You blew off Dibs. You got to see him in the morning and the afternoon.
Now, you blew off someone, and me and you both blew off someone. I asked you to go to dinner, and we both blew him off, and he's like, let's meet for dinner.
Trying to think of who?
Drew Brees.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. Now, let's really lay this out there. Is everyone under the impression that I blew off Drew Brees?
Pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean,
you really think I did that?
Drew probably wanted to get to know you a little bit, one of Lowe's current teammates.
I met Drew once. He's a really nice guy.
I text you and I said, you know what? Drew said we can go to dinner. You want to go with me?
It was probably 20 minutes before the reservation. And I was probably already in bed knowing you.
This
has happened before. We're all up the street having dinner. It's 11:30 and we have a show tomorrow. So I'll be doing most of the talking, I take it.
That was the drinking days, Joe. But no, I didn't. That was a day. It was a daytime, but I didn't go to see Drew either. I just saw a blink.
So back to my original point, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah.
He comes to town. Yeah, you just threw your hand up in the air. You wouldn't even bother.
Yeah, I think I would.
Hit me up, Hugh, when you come to town. We'll get together. We'll have dinner.
These things turn on me very, very fast. Very, very
well,
fast.
Well, we started by turning on Dibs. I got everyone.
Yeah.
I got everyone. I bounced it out.
It's fair. It's fair and balanced.
He goes, I don't do that anymore. You did it yesterday.
He's talking about today.
Yeah, yesterday.
Thank you, Tom Rowe.
Nice. Speaking of today, happy National Pi Day, 3.14 repeating. Today is March 14th. Happy Pi Day. Tomorrow, the Ides of March. Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
What is that again? When they all murdered
Brutus
Caesar?
Brutus got Caesar, yeah. Et tu, Brute. Mm. Got with that last little shiv.
All right.
Also, happy birthday, Steph Curry.
Not as exciting as the murder of Caesar. What's more exciting, Steph's birthday or Caesar being murdered in the streets?
That's sad.
Steph has lots of birthdays. Caesar was only murdered the one time.
Yeah, so Steph hit 400 threes one year, and Caesar only went down once.
Speaking of the Warriors, how many times did Caesar get stabbed?
Many, not 402. Less than 402 for sure.
Speaking of three-pointers, shout out Klay Thompson. He went over 200 three-pointers for the season last night. He knocked down five. He is now at 203 three-pointers for the season. He and Steph Curry, the only two players in NBA history to knock down 200 or more three-pointers in seven consecutive seasons. It's been seven straight seasons for Klay Thompson knocking down 200 or more three-pointers. That's not even a milestone number anymore. Like, we were trying to figure out if Harden could pace himself out to break Steph's record, which is, what,
402.
402. 200, all right, you're halfway there. But that you go back 15 years, that number didn't exist. People were not putting that number up. That wasn't really a Ray Allen, Reggie Miller consistent type number. These are the only two guys to have ever done it. And last night, while they were a part of the story, they weren't the biggest part. Welcome to 7:31 a.m. as I awkwardly tried to transition into a great piece of audio.
Lob up top for Draymond, chased by Tucker, ball to Cousins. Four to shoot, got to go with three, with two. Rocks into a jumper, it's knocked it down. Season high 27, Warriors 102, Rockets 89.
I'm going to jump right back into this in a sec, but for everyone on the Chilton Auto Body text line who says 3.14 pi doesn't repeat, yes it does, the number goes on forever. Numbers just keep repeating, they go on in forever.
So yes, but the number...
Lousy way of trying to bail myself out of that mistake, but the numbers keep going, don't they?
Yes, but they're trying to nitpick you that you meant 3.141414. Right. That's not what the number does.
I was basically trying to take a bad shot back at them and then move on so that we couldn't talk about it anymore, but... Yeah. All right, pi. Thank you, text line, for...
Those are the same
people. You, Neil deGrasse.
Yeah, those are the same people that know pi out to 387 digits. You know, you get to 3.14159, and then you shut it down.
Neil deGrasse text line.
That's pretty good.
All right, so your final from Houston, Golden State 106, Houston 104. Yeah. You know what? Not worried about the Rockets. Not worried about them. Last night was everything I needed to see to realize once again, I don't need to be too concerned about this team come playoff time. I sure as hell am not concerned about the Houston Rockets. I know they got hot there for a couple moments. They had won nine straight going into last night's game. Most importantly, during that nine-game winning streak, they had outscored their opponents in the first quarter by 83 points. That's just nine quarters of basketball that they outscored their opponents by 83 points. Nine-game winning streak, nine first quarters, plus 83. That is an insane number. And the Warriors, without Durant, outscored them by 10 in the first quarter last night, on their home court.
Yeah.
They talk trash all week. D'Antoni had his cute little comments. Clint Capella wanted to be a part of the show. Yeah, there's a lot of star power in this series. Harden and Paul, Draymond, Clay, Steph, KD went healthy, Boogie. Clint Capella ain't one of them. Sorry, Clint. You're not on that tier, but you are free to pop off at the mouth anytime you like because you guys sure as hell aren't going to back it up. You may have taken three of four, but you lost the most important one, the final one before the playoffs. And that's the taste you have in your mouth right there, that loss, because you should have won that game if you're a legit contender. I'm not really worried about these guys. Harden last night was jacking up bad three after bad three. They weren't ready for the game, and the Warriors came out and put it on them. And the last two times the Warriors have tried to play basketball, they hammered Denver, and they beat Houston in Houston. I'm feeling pretty good about this team. You want to come out and lay an egg against OKC Saturday night? I don't know if that's going to be a concern. We keep talking about, are they going to be able to flip the switch? It seems like when they decide to try to do it, they do it. Now, I don't know why the season has to be such a grind for them. I mean, you keep hearing about how much of a grind it is. Okay, but by and large, is anyone really all that concerned? Houston was supposed to be this big threat in the West. They went into their building last night without Durant, and they pretty much controlled the entire
game.
They
looked great, and the way they did it in the first quarter was with defense. They held Houston to 37% from the floor and just 2 of 10 from three. When you have that much of a determined effort, this team is virtually unbeatable with Kevin Durant or without him. I'm not totally concerned about Houston, but you look at any series, any best of seven where teams start to get familiar with each other, and you remember what Houston did last year when all of a sudden, when they had that series against the Warriors, they started switching everything one through five. They made a big defensive adjustment. It took the Warriors some time to adjust to that defensive maneuver and get over him in seven games. So I still think that in a short series, James Harden has the ability to score unlike anybody in the game, getting to the foul line, the step back daddy from 3-point land, etc. If he gets hot, he can steal a game or two. Even though you took Houston down, I still think they're a real threat.
Agreed. But 4-7 is what we're talking about, and you're not going to have home court. That's what it all comes down to. Houston can go out there and they might take three. I don't see how they take 4-7. I don't, especially when you have to go to Oracle. I think last year was their peak. I think this year they're putting up a nice fight. And if you have Chris Paul healthy through the whole thing, sure. But what happened last night? You can't pop off at the mouth all week, then lose, then have some, well, you know, look at the situation. We had played a lot of games and, you know, this and that. No. Now, if you're quiet going into the game, that's one thing. You can chalk it up as just a game on the schedule. But when you pop off, I have to believe that you are taking that game 100% seriously. The Warriors had been an underdog 40 straight games before last night. 40 straight.
Or they hadn't been underdog, right?
Yeah. Favorite for 39 straight games. You have to go back 40 games to find the last time that the Warriors were an underdog. Only six dog situations all season. And they went in there and they won. That was set up. That was tailor-made for Houston last night. And another thing. How come there were so many people there cheering for the Warriors? You notice that? You notice how many times people were cheering for the Warriors last night? It's a sports town. What's everyone so worried about with them? They got a really good player in Harden, and CP3 will come to play in the playoffs. But you saw a whole new dimension last night. Boogie goes for 27. The focus had been on attacking Boogie defensively for months now. Oh, man, it's such a liability. We never thought to think of how it could be a liability for the other team. Last night you saw it firsthand. They're switching off. Boogie's in these situations where Harden's trying to defend him. Good luck with that, James. Good luck.
If the Warriors would have lost this game last night, 107-106, we still would be saying it was a great job by the Warriors to compete and only lose by one. You know, they win by two. If the Rockets would have got lucky and hit a three and lose, you still would have said, man, this is what you want to see, not having a superstar on the court. And to me, when they play OKC, I don't want to see them have a bad night. I want to see them compete. And last night, whether they won or lost, they competed. They played with the energy. They played with the joy that Steve Kerr's talking about. They played with speed and intensity. Even though it wasn't a perfect game, even though you saw some of the turnovers, they played at speed. They played with speed. They moved the ball around. Boogie down in the block, passing the ball to a cutting Steph, to a cutting Clay, cutting guys. Guys were just cutting to the basket. Everyone was diving. You saw Steph shoot a three. Looney comes flying out of nowhere, throws it down because of a running start. Guys were diving at the basket, diving at the rim. You want to see this Warrior team move like the way that they did. And when they're playing like that with that type of energy and running on offense and defense, guys switching out, you saw McKinney jumping in passing lanes, knocking down balls. You saw Cook take it to the hole. You saw Steph body control, penetrating, putting the ball on the hardwood, penetrating, going to the rim, going to the rack. You saw a vigorated and you saw an energized team last night play the way that you love to see the Warriors play.
Look at the plus minuses from the bench last night. Jordan Bell plus six, Sean Livingston plus 16, Quinn Cook plus six, McKinney plus three, Looney was minus five, and Lee was minus eight. And these aren't the be-all, end-all stats, but the bench had a nice night. The bench had a nice night. They got mixed up a bit at the start of the second. It was a new rotation because without Durant, you have to, you know, make some tweaks. But by and large last night, they jumped on him, and then every time there was a moment in which Houston tried to bring it all the way back, grab a lead or get close, the Warriors would lock it down, and they'd figure out how to extend back out. It happened in the second, it happened in the third, it happened at the end of the game. There were a lot of opportunities last night where they could have just packed it in like we've seen in plenty of games. And Steph didn't play all that great. Steph didn't play all that great. Again, what was he from deep? 3 of 9. He's shooting 36% from deep since the beginning of February. No one wants to talk about that. He went from 46% all season until the start of February. Now he's down to 36%. And without Durant, and they still went out there and played really good basketball last
night. Yeah, I think that if they ended up losing that game as low as, saying, 107, 106, we wouldn't be giving them a free pass for their effort because they were up by 14 in the fourth quarter. They were up by 10 with 3 minutes to go. So if that game goes another 30 seconds, the game probably ends the way Lowe was talking about, with them losing 107, 106, and then we're talking about how they have problems at the end of games, and maybe they need Kevin Durant. He's the only true closer. Without the isolation of KD, this team's in real trouble. So as much as it was a good win, you mentioned the second unit, the new look second unit with Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins playing different minutes, not playing as many minutes together. I think that's a positive move, and you're going to see that wrinkle continue at OKC.
Speaking of Draymond Green, here he is after the game.
I think everybody was locked in. I think our players, our team, some players did a better job of locking in. Our coaching staff was locked in. You know, I think there's always this notion of like players, you know, but what the one thing we understand as a full unit is that everybody got to be locked in, and we all have our off days. Tonight we were all locked in. We knew we needed to come in here and get a win, and we focused on the task at hand, and we did that. You know, obviously we had some great individual performances with DeMarcus playing great. Clay was great. Steph was great. Our bench was fantastic. You know, everybody who came off the bench gave great minutes. You know, Andre was really good. So it was a complete team effort. You know, we did what we needed to do to get the win.
Sounds like, if you're not paying close attention, just standard comments after the game, but he talked specifically about how the coaching staff is locked in and about how, you know, sometimes it's just a focus on the players not being locked in. But every now and again, you know, it's a team effort and the coaches might not be locked in. What do you make of it? You're smiling. What are you making of that?
It was crazy because you and I, we locked eyes right there. It was kind of weird. Like, I thought we should have just got a spoon and both of us go into the soup together.
You're probably taking it much farther than you needed to. But
no question. Okay. Draymond understood what the words that Kerr said. And he said, hey, it's not a shot fired, but it's like, look, it's accountability everywhere. Coaches and players. Players, everyone just talks about the players, but the coach has got to put you in a position. All things being equal, Joe, I say it all the times, players make plays, but coaches help make decisions that help determine the outcome of the game as well. Coaching is big as well. And you heard Steve Kerr on the first time out, Doris comes up and says, you guys got it off well, what happened? He said Draymond played the whole quarter. He gave him love. He understood what he said in the previous and what people were thinking and something going on. Steve Kerr, the first time they, you know, when they on TNT, they do the little special where they interview the coaches during the game. His first compliment, attaboy, was to Draymond during the game. I made a mental note about that, and that just goes to show you, hey, here's this coach to understand in his team, and I want to do the right thing, and here's Draymond talking about, hey, everyone needs to be locked in.
Well, Draymond made it easy to pay that compliment because he was so good in the first quarter defensively, and you mentioned before the fact that they shot 37%. Houston did in that first quarter. Iguodala on the floor to start the game, playing with energy. Klay Thompson is an elite defender. And while Draymond Green's not going to get Defensive Player of the Year, he still is playing well enough to be considered on the first or second All-NBA defensive team.
Greg Papa coming up in about 17 minutes at 8 o'clock. He has been bumped up from 8:30 to 8. Usually he joins us every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30. Today he's at 8 because Bruce Bochy, the three-time World Series champion, will join us at 8:30. And right after that, approximately 1 hour from now, we've got an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball, complete with tickets to Boogie Cousins' upcoming comedy special that we will be giving away in about an hour, right around 8:45. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. I love the dynamic between the two. I love it. Because you know what? Kerr can say that. It can be a viral video. Oh, man, think about what he just said about Draymond. And everyone can read into that deeper than the one person who matters, which is Draymond. I think he sees that, and he knows hard coaching is the best coaching for him. There are two different ways as a coach that you approach athletes. There are the ones where you can get in their face, you can yell and scream, and you can have it out. Because some people respond well to that. They feel challenged. Others have a different type of personality. You kind of got to pull them aside, talk to them in a different manner, kind of encourage them. It's not to say one personality type is better than the other. It's just to highlight that you can't have the same approach to talking to all the same people. Some people you can get on, that's what motivates them. Some people a bit more delicate. Draymond's one of those guys that I think you can get in his face. Tom Izzo at Michigan State, probably high school coaches knew that they could push him because he thrives under that. So he goes out and he meets the media afterwards and probably gets a laugh at this because everyone's reading, oh, what's Draymond going to think? Draymond probably thinks not. Man, I've said worse about him than he's saying about me.
Absolutely.
That's the beautiful dynamic of the back and forth between those two because Green serves a far greater purpose to this team than a lot of people realize. You know he plays great defense. You know he's a great passer. A lot of times the box score doesn't do his performance justice. But in the locker room, too, if Kerr needs to lay into someone, sometimes you can be that target. Every now and again, even if you didn't do anything wrong, the coach needs someone to lace into to get the message to everyone. You've probably seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you have a coach come and tell you that you were going to get screamed at one day?
Absolutely.
Because he just wanted to get the message to everybody else. You didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah, it was Marty Schottenheimer. He told LT and myself, he said, look, LT, I'm going at you today, so just understand that.
Because he wanted to get what?
Absolutely.
The team worked up a little bit?
He wanted to get the team worked up and wanted to go after the superstar. So he lays into LT and he's doing all that. And everyone's like, man, I can't believe he went to. And LT never told anyone. I was there when Marty told him. But it was a moment that everyone's, oh, my God, if he can talk to a $61 million player at the time, that's one of the highest contracts in $21 million guaranteed.
Well, you got all those details memory.
Yeah, because I didn't get none of that. you think, oh, my God.
61 guaranteed. I can just see you ripping off every detail of the contract.
That was a good contract.
Really good contract.
They were at $19 million, and he said, I'm number 21. He told AJ didn't want to give it to him. He goes and talks to Dean and says, Dean. What's my number? 21. Guaranteed 21. Gave him a $21 million signing bonus. That's nice. But anyway, so yeah, I've seen Marty do those things, and I've seen coaches do that in certain situations. Hell, Joe, I was at Fresno State, and the great Jim Sweeney, Ron Rivers, were having a meeting. He just laughed. It wasn't like an outburst, but he snickered, and Sweeney's giving a speech. Hey, Rivers, be quiet. And he had a big cowboy ring on and hit him in the head, and he saw an instant knot come on his head. I mean, you go to jail for that kind of stuff now. I mean, but Rivers could handle it. I mean, he hit this dude.
That was an abrupt left turn. Great story, though.
Yeah, he had to ice his head, but certain guys you could do something to. Certain guys, I've seen him hit in the stomach, punch guy. Sometimes certain...
what kind of program they running down there back in the day?
There's a lot of stuff that goes on. So when you talk about, of course, I'm going to the extreme, but you know Draymond, certain guys... that you can do certain things to, and it pushes guys. Some guys you have to have kid gloves on. If you come at Kevin Durant, his response is different. And Steve Kerr's know that. You can't necessarily be demeaning at certain guys, so they're going to clap back at you. You know certain guys' attitude. Coaches, they're psychologists. They got to know the heartbeat. They got to know the nuances of their team. If you don't, you're going to run into trouble.
And that's why it's especially hard, I think, in pro sports, particularly baseball and basketball, because the season's so long. Football, you know, if you're 0-2, it's basically a must win.
Right.
There's not really dog days in football. If you're 4-9, you're getting ready for the draft, and it's are we tanking? If you're 6-6, you need to win this game. And if you win it, guess what? You need to win the next one, too, because 7-6 doesn't get it done. So football's interesting with that once-a-week motivation as opposed to basketball.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr can't say, all right, guys, you know, it's Phoenix tonight. We have to beat Phoenix or else. You guys know that's a tune-out for them. So you got to find new ways to motivate. And maybe for Steve Kerr, the fact that he got lip-read and how he's so blankety-blank and tired of Draymond Green's blankety-blank, that's not such a bad thing because, A, he knows, to Joe's point, Draymond can take it, and, B, the message gets out that he's tired of Draymond's act. So how does Draymond respond? He's not going to turtle up and say, Coach, I can't go tonight because I've got an ingrown toenail. He's going to say, I'm going to go out and ball. And then the first quarter, he's a plus 10. He's shutting everyone down, no turnovers. And then after the game, it's like, yeah, we were all locked in. And guess what? The coaches were too. Hint, hint. They're not always locked in. Hint, hint. Steve Kerr's been a bum for the past 2 weeks, you know? And that's where he gets his message across. And so for Steve Kerr, he's able to play it off in the press conference as well. Like, oh, the lip readers were wrong. You know, I simply said I was perturbed with Draymond's disposition. Ha, 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 you know? When those two full well, they probably talked about it, and it's like, you know, hey, I hate you, you hate me, I love you, you love me. Let's go to work.
Yeah,
and that's the way it goes.
And it's a beautiful thing because you don't realize how many coaches and players cannot coexist like that. how many coaches do you see run out of locker rooms because people have turned on them? I mean, do you remember what happened with
Minnesota Timberwolves?
Timberwolves, yeah. I mean, that pretty much happens to Thibodeau everywhere because for some reason he still has his 1950s mentality. But Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard in Orlando, that got really messy. Really messy. And Van Gundy's widely regarded as a very good coach, and Howard was a very good player. The last thing you want is that scenario. I mean, you talked about this with what? Nelly and Weber. Like, you can't have that. You can't have star coaches and star players, and then they don't get along, and the whole thing falls apart. It's delicate. It's not just an X's and O's thing. It's not just a prep thing. It's not just managing egos. There's so much that goes into all of that. Bruce Bochy at 8:30, he can tell you about it. I mean, damn, 162-game grind, and then maybe you get to the playoffs? What happens when you know early in the season you're just not going to contend? And it's May, right? Vacation's a long way off. Yeah.
You got to pretend in May. You pretend in May and you keep it real in September in baseball. Because if you're 10-19, let's just say, you can't just say, look, guys, we're 10-19 now, but we all know we're going to be 70-92 soon enough. So
right. Go
out there and try your best. You got to still put on the illusion that you're in it and you're fighting tooth and nail.
The 831 on the Chilton Autobody text line, do we need to be worried about the lack of scoring by Draymond this year? No. If you have scorers in Steph, Clay, Boogie and Durant, and you need points from Draymond, you probably don't deserve to win that game. Just to bring that, just put it in context like that. If you need more scoring from Draymond, given this roster, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong, and we shouldn't probably be focused on winning any more games.
You're right.
Well, Draymond's got to get us 30.
No.
Why? Why?
He gets 30,
there are literally, of the five starting options, there are four other options I'd rather turn to for 30 points before him. He's the last of the five, and that's not to disparage him, but that's not his game. It's Steph's game. It's Clay's game. It's Durant's game.
He's last of the eight. So you're talking about his five-man rotation?
I know. I'm going to the bench. Right. Get Livingston in here. Right. Give him 30 shots.
Right. It's interesting when you're talking about dynamics, and you guys are talking about head coaches, your superstar, and your head coach got to necessarily coexist. I think the best one in the history of any sport has to be Brady and Belichick, that even if there are – I'm talking about even if they don't agree – because they love winning so much, they're willing to compromise. You know what I'm saying?
Somehow always put the team first.
No question.
I mean, let's face it. There's been one dust-up in 20 years.
And Brady didn't show up to the OTAs. He's took a vacation. But still, the winning superseded the person. And both these guys coexist no matter what. And Bob Kraft, understand it. You two are going to get along. I don't care. And they love winning more than that. And a lot of athletes and a lot of guys in other sports, look at basketball and other sports, that it just doesn't work.
Look at Phil Jackson.
Yeah,
as great
absolutely.
As he is and as unbelievable as his resume looks, couldn't make it work with Shaq and Kobe. Couldn't get them to agree. Had to break that thing up at the end, which, you know, that stuff happens. But as much as I hate to admit it, the Brady Belichick is pretty much the gold standard of all that. It really is. I mean, that has been going on far longer than anyone would like to acknowledge. I'm done with it too. By the way, I really would like to see Cleveland in the Super Bowl next year.
Ahead.
Or anyone else. Someone the other day was trying to tell me why. Fun conversation. I really think it's the Chargers next year. I just started laughing. I walked away.
Lowe's got Buffalo winning the AFC East, so maybe when the Patriots have to go to that wild card game, maybe they're unable to advance as a result of being a 5 or 6 seed. So
I forgot about that.
That's a
tough position to be in.
I didn't forget it.
The Jets got Le'Veon Bell.
We mark the tape, but we don't keep the tape when we mark it back there, usually more than 24 hours. So that one got filed away in the old mental memory banks. So, yeah, Patriots at L.A. to take on the Chargers in that wild card game. Maybe that ultimately is Brady's Achilles heel.
The Chilton Auto by text line, it's pouring through, so I don't have this in front of me anymore, but it's got to at least be asked. We can acknowledge it, and then we can debunk it and move on. But they played really well without Durant last night. Ball movement looked relatively crisp. Team looked relatively motivated. Some people kind of want to read into that as in that may mean something. That might be a message. Maybe not to KD, but maybe to the rest of the league. Don't worry about us. If he leaves in the offseason, we're going to be just fine. We're going to be just fine. We'll have someone come in to fill that roster spot, and we will continue to be the most dangerous threat in the NBA. Do we read into that at all? The fact that last night you saw them play really well without him, is there something there, or do we just acknowledge it and move on? Because we could be responsible. If there's nothing there, we don't have to speculate, but we at least have to bring it up.
Yeah, there's something there, and the something is that they played well without him. It doesn't mean that they can't wait for him to leave, and it doesn't mean that they're going to win three titles after he leaves, if he in fact leaves. What it means is They saw that one of their best players wasn't there. They also saw that they were coming off an embarrassing loss, and they were playing against a powerful team in the West, so they played hard. Now, did they play hard because Kevin Durant wasn't on the floor? I don't believe that, but they definitely were playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder in the first quarter. You mentioned first time in 40 games, they were a point spread underdog. These players know that. They saw what Houston was saying. Houston players talking trash. You're an underdog. You're coming off an embarrassing loss, and you don't have KD. All of those factors led to them playing hard.
I think it was good for the team to not have KD. I think it was good for everyone. I think it was even good for KD. Because sometimes, Joe, sometimes you feel that, you know what, you're the man, you're the best. You never know how good you're not. You're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. And that was an opportunity last night for this team to lay a turd. Instead, they said, you know what, let's step up and let's play. And also, it's a time where to reflect. You got to realize KD's sitting there watching and saying, wow. In the back of his mind, does he really believe that that team could have won without him? Probably he thought they're probably going to lose this game. And you know what? And maybe some of the coaches. Everyone has doubt. It's just a matter of being. It does. But some of those guys probably
Vegas
said,
told you they were probably going to lose
right.
that game.
And but these are where guys like Dib said he understood. These guys understand. They see the press clippings. They hear what people are saying. Like, dude, we can win without him. We won without him. And this was that good moment where now even KD can look and say, man, this is a good team. I see why I came to this team. I looked at the way the ball movement. Yeah, it's still a good team without him. It's a great team with him. If they all coexist and they understand each other's role and they understand the dynamics, if KD's on this team is far better with him than without him. But it goes to show you they still can win without him if the ball is moving and guys play with the effort. So I thought it was a big win for them. I thought it was good for the team. I think it was great for everyone to be able to play and show that they can beat a quality team without KD.
They played great basketball last
yes.
night. But Boogie Cousins has to have been the centerpiece of that conversation. Klay hit 30, don't get me wrong. It's not as if Boogie carried everyone, but what a game. And people will look at the box score and they'll see the 27 points, and they'll just see big numbers. Man, best game of the year. Not just that, smartest game of the year. That was Boogie's smartest game of the year. He was so dialed in from start to finish in a high-leverage situation. 11 of 16 shooting, so he was lethal, getting himself into good shape. Only took 2 3-pointers. Now, this is a guy who had been ice cold from three over the last few games. Knocks down one of them, but only takes two. Isn't out there trying to jack up threes all night long. 8 rebounds, 7 assists. That's a season high. You notice the situation. The Rockets love to switch in the pick-and-roll situation. So consistently, Boogie found himself in some favorable situations. Chris Paul would be backing him up. Harden would be right there. Now, you can easily try to do that every single play and then muscle him down to the block and then try to put it up off the glass or slam it home, right? And he did that a few times. But he also realized, damn, this could create an opportunity for others on my team. Case in point, some passes he made. Klay, Steph, he was razor sharp with the passing. Understood the scenario. Didn't put up a ton of threes. Was crisp with the passing, +7 in 32 minutes and only 3 fouls. Something he's talked about all season. Fouls, too many fouls, constantly in foul trouble. 20 games he's played, only 2 of them he's had fewer than 3 fouls. Now, there are a bunch of games where he's had 3, but there's a bunch of games where he's had more. Point being, he went into that game last night, and virtually every issue he had had at some point this season, he addressed. He cleaned up. He played a razor-sharp game last night all the way around. We got an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball giveaway at 8:45. But damn, that's a round of applause right there, to be honest with you. Because the 27 points is one thing, but smart basketball. Harden got the 29 points last night on what, 2 of 12 from deep? Anybody can put the glamour number up. It's how you got there. How efficient were you? Cousins was ultra efficient.
He probably benefited the most from KD not being out there because the offense could be run through him a lot more than it normally would be. The offense goes through KD on many isolation plays because he's so deadly as a scorer, but without KD, now you can run it through DeMarcus Cousins in the low block, and they were able to get switches so that Harden was guarding him in the post, and they were able to take advantage. The one stat you didn't mention, Joe, that pops out to me is technical fouls. They only had a defensive 3 seconds call. DeMarcus had his composure. He kept it. There was even an exchange, and I'm sure you heard this. It was plain as day. He thought he had taken a charge. He kind of flew back under the basket. He got up, and he was arguing the call, and Draymond Green says, F him, because he was arguing to the ref. You heard that.
Yeah.
Plain as day. I don't know why they didn't have the dump button ready on TV, but It's not our job. You hear that plain as day. Draymond says F him, talking about Boogie arguing to the ref. And he says, just play your game. Don't let him get you off your game. And that little reminder helped DeMarcus, I think, to stay focused and not lose his composure and continue to play good basketball.
That was great last night, man. He was great last night.
He was, because it looked like that was definitely, you know, I thought he charged Harden on that particular play that you're talking
about. I thought
he
sold it a little bit too hard, because there was contact, but he threw himself toward the stanchion like he was hit by a moving freight train.
He did. He flopped pretty good. When you're talking about he benefited by not having KD, Dibs, did you see enough last night to say, this is what I would do if I'm in this situation for DeMarcus, could still have his shine? Is it a better without those two on the floor? Would you go more with that now because you've seen what DeMarcus can do? How do you put the start? How do you make them all, these guys can shine in the right direction if you're saying you saw the way that he benefited last night?
I want that to be a Sylvester Stallone question. I want it to hang off the cliff. Just hang off the cliff.
Okay.
And Dibs will be up there in the Rocky Mountains. He'll go ahead. He'll find that cash. He will shut down John Lithgow, and he will answer that question. But you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Had to get legal. Plus, we have a guest on the line. No. Bruce Bochy in 30 minutes. Autograph Boogie Cousins basketball giveaway in 45 minutes. And right now, the Greg Papa Report, brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. Greg Papa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for your time. What did you think of Boogie last night, man? What a razor-sharp performance from the former New Orleans Pelican.
What Sly Stone movie reference were you making there? Was that Wolfgar?
Cliffhanger.
Wolfgar! What was that one? Remember that one?
No, Pop, I missed that one.
Remember? Oh, come on.
I think that was Frank Stallone.
No, that was Sly Stallone. When he's on like the tram, the glass tram, and he's hanging out. Look it up.
Someone in the back room looked that up.
Remember Wolfgar? My mind's not working. You moved me up to 8 o'clock because of Bochy. Tell Bochy he's the only guy in the Bay Area I'd get up early for like this. You're killing me.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time.
Boogie was fine. He was really good. I mean, I hear you talking about Durant. I mean, obviously what I was looking at last night is how the Chase Center Warriors may look with Durant gone. And there is a way for the Warriors. The Warriors would have to agree to this, obviously. But, you know, when DeMarcus got here, Steve Kerr was on record as saying it's going to be a one and done. We just can't afford him. And my reaction was, whoa, slow your roll there. And I remember talking to Bob Myers. I ran into him right after that. And we had a long talk about it in person. And then we had him on the radio show. And the Warriors can offer DeMarcus a 20% increase. That's it from the mid-level exception from this year. I think it goes from $5.3 to $6.6 million. But if he accepts that, he would have full bird rights proceeding forward, and they could give him a contract that nobody else in the NBA could do. So it is a possibility, and DeMarcus did look a lot better last night. I think they used him a lot better last night. My thought when he first got here would be they would not post him up in the low block, the traditional five up, five down, Nelly Pop play call for the big. I just didn't think they would do that. And I think some of that was just him taking it over. And when he's getting scored on one end, he wanted to come right back and score on you on the other end and make it up. And he did post up a lot last night. He was effective in his post-ups. But his great skill that is special is to be able to pass the ball from the high post. They used him a lot as a high post passer, the way Bill Walton was used back in the 70s. You can run your whole offense from there. Andrew Bogut is exceptional at that. Bogut doesn't give you the shooting ability, so you can get up on him a little more and make the pass more difficult, where, DeMarcus has the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.